Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
I want to welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Happy New Year. 2019 is upon us. A lot of things have happened. A lot of things have happened since the last time we were on the air. Hell, I'm sitting here watching Lindsay Lohan on a reality show with her clubs. That tells you how much has gone on since the last time I was on the air. Looking forward to 2019. Looking forward to great new things, great new endeavors, great new opportunities this year. Off season's been kind of an up and down off season. We thought we had a couple of shows jumping on board, and then just as quickly as everything was formatted and on board, everything wasn't. So 2019 is still up in the air, and what we're going to do, what the schedule is going to be like. So bear with us as we get all this figured out and figure out who and what is going to be on what night. But I do know that Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris will be back. So looking forward to another season with them. I have kind of moved in a little bit of a different direction in personal life, which should help me get in more involved with the writing and that side of the aspect of things, so looking forward to that as well. So looking forward to a lot of great things. Want to make sure that I thank Maxivation Digital Media. Take care of all your branding needs. Got to thank Carolina Sports Plus. Tell you what, it wasn't but 2-3 years ago. This guy, Mario Edwards and company, was just a little bleep trying to expand their company and where they're at today and the things that they're doing and accomplishing remarkable things. Glad to not only be friends, personal friends, with the owner and of Carolina Sports Plus, but having them be part of the 110 Nation and everything we have going on here. Make sure you guys check them out on Facebook, Carolina Sports Plus.
as they are in many, many locations. And if I've seen their latest post correctly, they will be on a building here soon as well, their own building. Not to mention everything else they got going on. So glad to be part of that, and make sure you guys check them out as well. Like I said, a lot of things in this off season. We do have Izzo joining us at 9:30, so looking forward to having him on the show. Didn't plan on having such a long vacation here for the One Ten Nation Sports Show. For those that don't know me in my personal life, you know, I'm a store manager. I'm a store manager for one of the Circle K's locally here. The number one store in growth in every category possible. I'm not going to bore you with all the numbers, but I tell you what, we are the smallest cubic feet store with the least amount of pumps, and yet we lead in growth in every category. And a store that was supposed to be closed down and was on the list 3 years ago to be closed down. Not only we're number one in every category in growth wise, but out of the 15 store markets, we beat over half the stores in sales on a weekly basis now too. What used to be we beat one store, now we beat over half the markets. And there's three or four that I'm not. One of them's a big, huge truck stop. Another one, the other two that we're never going to catch are our stores that have like 20 pumps and are huge. But all the rest of them, we're coming for you. But one of the things that had happened in the beginning of November was we went 24 hours, something that I had drugged my feet for a year and a half on because I knew the consequences of what would come along with having a 24-hour store, and that would be third shift, that overnight shift. And ever since we've gone 24 hours, that has pretty much been an issue. And I've managed to at least work one, if not two, third shifts a week since we've gone, beginning back in the beginning of November. I do not even want to talk about the endless hours that I have spent, the endless straight 24-hour shifts that I have spent done. But that has been an issue, and so it started my Christmas vacation with the show earlier than expected, and went into this week, and so. Do apologize to the fans and the listeners as we're approaching about 8 years at this point. Who would have ever imagined 8 years ago that we would still be doing this? But I have been working hard in this offseason, getting things ready, getting things situated. As a matter of fact, once I get off the show, I do got to run up and finish putting one of the new hires' information into the system. But I have been frantically working on hiring employees. That has been a process within itself. I have learned, especially over the last 3 years of running the store, been with the company a little over 4 years, that there are a lot of people out there that like the idea of having a check, but maybe not so much the idea of working for that check. So it's been quite an adjustment, and a lot has been put on my shoulders to continue. As every 4 weeks is a period. We just finished Sunday, our ninth period of the year. Our fiscal year begins like April or something. And period nine, sales-wise, was the best period this store has ever had to date, which sets the bar a little bit higher for period 10. We're up for the challenge, though. So that is what I've been doing in the off season. It's not like Mr. CJ Sports was sitting around, nothing to do, and wasn't doing anything, and this, that, and the other. I tell you what, if I've learned anything in 2018, is that I am the hardest working man that almost everybody knows in this area. It's been trying. It's been testing. I'm hoping at the end, when it's all said and done, the reward. To quote a movie that I like a lot, I hope to find out that the juice was worth the squeeze. We'll find out. I applaud you, NCAA. I applaud you. You don't have it completely right, so I'm not going to give you a standing ovation, but you're getting there. And what I mean by this is, we watched a national championship game get played last night. The NCAA and the committee has helped weed out those that are not worthy of being national champions by having a four-team playoff system. Now, I think that an 8-team, or we can start out with a 6-team, 1-2, get a bye. I'm still not big with that. I'd like to at least have 8 teams. Where you're talking about, you're looking at national, even with the 8-team, I think you're still having, I'm not sure, you got what, you still have an odd amount at some point. No, then you would have 4 than 2. So, yeah, it'd work out. That means you would have to play 3 legitimate opponents. And where the NCAA is getting this right is you have teams like Alabama that feel that their path to winning another national championship is through taking the easiest road possible. Never proven really anything, never really happened to play anybody. Their claim to fame is, oh, we played this team from the SEC or this team from the SEC. Well, if you haven't noticed, really nobody outside of maybe Georgia after this last, that's kind of debatable. There's nobody really in the SEC that's really any good no more. That ship has kind of sailed, and it only looked good because they kind of were modeling the schedule. And now that you have a bunch of dead weight, playing a bunch of dead weight, they can't go anywhere because there's nothing that's holding any weight to their wins at this point on the wins they do get. Florida State never would have been national champions, 5-6 years ago. Last year, Jameson Winston's there. If we would have had this football system, they wouldn't have. Their combined opponent's record was 81-81. They played really nobody. They played the SEC, the ACC, big whoop-de-doo. Clemson was ACC. Well, let's not get too excited with that as well. ACC really played nobody either, and to include a national title game last night, they still really played nobody. And you can argue this all day long, but who did Alabama beat, really? Come on, let's be honest. Who was really Alabama really beat all year long? Really nobody. They beat Georgia in the SEC bowl game or whatever, SEC championship game, whatever it was. And that was a close game against a SEC team that really was not that great. Last four years, we've had this bowl system, playoff system. Ohio State wins the first year, beats Alabama. And then 2 out of the next 3 years, Clemson beats Alabama. It's funny how a team in a college is looked as a dynasty and looked to, they could play professional NFL teams. Oh, this Alabama team could beat the Cleveland Browns or this Alabama team. First of all, no, they couldn't. The Cleveland Browns played this year. Proud, very proud and honored to be a Cleveland Browns fan. Would have loved to finish the 8-7-1, but I'll take the 7-8-1 versus one win in over two seasons. So I'll take that. But also, no, they're not going to be a professional team. It is easy for Alabama to schedule themselves against the likes of Citadel and be able to win and put themselves into the position to run the table. You finish the previous season undefeated. You play the next season, you don't lose no games. You dominate against everybody you play because you have, once again, a powder puff schedule. And so the committee, of course, is going to put you into the bowl game. And odds are you're one opponent. And a lot of those times, go back to the Florida State-Auburn game. Not legit. Neither one of those. Auburn won on a fluke field goal return and had some freak play happen in the one of the other games to get in there. And Florida State played nobody. And so here we sit, where I am not doing a standing ovation is one. You still have four teams versus eight teams. Come on, we got a whole freaking month off. They stopped playing ball at the end of November. I was home for the Michigan-Ohio State game, Thanksgiving weekend. Bowl game wasn't until the end of December. As a matter of fact, the beginning of January. I went to the Carolina L House and watched the Ohio State Buckeyes beat Washington at a bar. So you had a whole month off. There's no reason that we can't have a couple playoff games, not just two playoff games, or a playoff game and then the national title game. Let's have a couple playoff games and the national title game. The other thing that I'm still bit and set on is, if you want a shot to play against or play for a championship, if you want to play for opportunity for to win a national championship, then 8 of your 12 games need to be against top 50 opponents. In other words, when you're doing your next schedule, you need to be scheduled against top 50 teams. Whenever the schedule has to be made, at that moment, 8 teams out of the top 50 have to come out of that pool that are in the top 50 whenever the schedule is made. I'll give you 4 give-me games. I'll give you 2 interconference give-me games. Ohio State, you play your, I hate to say Indiana, because Indiana is a good team and a decent team, but you're Indiana and you're Minnesota. Game, and then 2 outer conferences, like Ohio plays Toledo or Ohio plays Ohio University, 2 outer conference games that mount to nothing, that mean nothing, just to help these guys. I don't mind 4 of them, but 8, 75% of your schedule needs to be against legit top 50 teams. So if I'm the NCAA, this is what I'm looking at. If you want an opportunity to even be part of the playoffs, when the schedule is made, 8 of your opponents have to be ranked top 50 teams at that point in time, and there needs to be 8 teams in the playoffs. That way we have at least, we're guaranteed to have your national champion play at least 3 top 8 teams. Let's make these teams prove themselves. Let's get past the days of Alabama playing nobody all year long and then maybe have to show up for one good game. Let's just get past the days that Alabama and the committee, well, we're going to leave out the legitimate contenders like Ohio State. We're going to put in Notre Dame, who's not part of a conference because they don't want to be tied down to actually playing an actual conference schedule or have to actually win out a conference to be in. They just want to hope that if their schedule is powder puff enough and they're undefeated, they can find themselves in the playoffs. Let's make this better. Let's continue what you started. You started to go down this path. You're getting the right idea. Now you got the right idea. Now let's continue that. Let's. It's not that hard. It's not that tough to schedule basically two more games in the time off. It's not that tough to say, you know what, when you guys are doing your schedule, if you want to be in the running for a national title, if you want a chance, do you want a chance, an opportunity to be considered for the playoffs, then 80 of your opponents must be in the top 25, or I'm sorry, top 50, and we'll go from there. We got a lot of off-season NASCAR moves that happen that I will be going over tomorrow. Daniel Suarez officially signs with the 41 team. Just a lot of off-season things. Chip Ganassi, due to whatever happened with an invade, I think they got raided or whatever. Polar, whatever the sponsor was, the Brennan Poole car at one point. I don't know if Brennan Poole's still been driving it. They've closed down Xfinity Series operations, as at least right now. There's a lot of things that have gone on in the off season. So we'll definitely jump into that. Of course, we got the NBA, Jimmy Butler, once again in the high, headlines, as he once again is deemed not to be able to be played with. Didn't get along with everybody in Minnesota, didn't get along with everybody in Chicago. Now you got issues in Philadelphia. So a lot of things to talk about in the NBA wise, and then we got the draft. We got people already asking of Ohio State. I have my mixed feelings with that. I want players and athletes to have the best opportunity to make as much money as they can and have a successful career. I think that you lose hindsight, and I think the best successful career part gets sacrificed over the money. In other words, Haskins can go out this year, be probably the number one quarterback off the board this year, be a top 10 pick, and make much more than possibly going back, and things go downhill, someone emerges the number one quarterback out of the next year draft, injury or something, and then your value goes down. But then you also have the other aspect of it is you've only played 12 when came in the Michigan game last year. So you played 12, 13, 14 games, something like that. 15 maybe, bowl game and Big Ten championship game. So you're probably about 15 games. Really don't have that much experience underneath your belt, even at the college level, then being a first-round pick, probably top 10 pick, you're going to more than likely be expected to be ready to start right out the gate. And so I'm conflicted with it, and you know there's also obviously another part of it that is personal to me. I'm being a Buckeye fan. Of course, I want the quarterback that has thrown 50 touchdowns this year, and then I think one of three quarterbacks ever to do that, or second quarterback, it might be the first quarterback, throw 50 touchdowns in a season. I want that quarterback to stay another year.
Of course, I want that quarterback to going into a year that is going to be without Urban Meyer, who, for medical reasons, is going to step away from coaching and will never coach again. Of course, I have, you know, personal feelings towards this decision as well. But that, put that aside, yeah. I don't know. I'm with the success rate being so minimum, as there are so many college students that graduate, athletes that graduate every year, and yet there's only 32, 53-man rosters. I'm that person that you get your degree, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know. And unless you know, you can make that first contract that you get, whatever it be, pay the first round, second round, third round, whatever happens. As long as you can make that pay last the rest of your life, then more power to you. Most athletes have enough of an issue. Making ends meet when they're still playing and have a career, not alone having one contract to be done, or not even make it, that first contract. So I'm always been a firm believer. You get that diploma, and then if everything else is supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen. But obviously, that's something else we're going to be watching as more and more athletes will be making their announcements on when they're whether or not they're staying or going, entering the draft or not, and so that ought to be fun, always interesting. After watching a couple bowl games, I think a couple players might want to reconsider, rethink possibly going into the NFL. You couldn't handle maybe a not so worthy opponent in the big spotlight, and I don't know. We'll see. Lordy, lordy. Didn't want to jump into too much because I wanted to make sure I left time for giving his a couple minutes, and then we'll continue on. Of course, this is how the new year would come in. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. While waiting for him to jump into the studio here, I'll tell you about those Cleveland Browns. Things have definitely, there we go. And of course, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. That's when he jumps in here. Let's go ahead and get Izzo into the studio. Let's get all caught up on everything that has gone on over the last month and a half, 2 months at this point. In the NHL, I'm sure Izzo has plenty on top of plenty to talk about, and probably then some more. So without any further delay, let me go ahead and throw him into the studio. Izzo, always glad to have you. Always fun times. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I'm glad you made it through the holidays. What you got in store for us tonight?
Hey, it's good to be back, Jay, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you too as well. So it's been a little bit, been a little bit of time since we've last spoken, but we've had some big things happen since we've last been on the air. Being one of them, the NHL Board of Governors has officially expanded the league again, bringing a Seattle team into the NHL, which will start their inaugural season in 2020-21. And we're looking forward to that. But right now, on tap, we got Minnesota and Boston. Boston's up 4-0 in the third with about 3 minutes left to go. The New Jersey Devils are in Buffalo tonight taking on the Sabres. They are down, or the Buffalo Sabres are up 5-1 with about 2:20 left in the third. Our Carolina Hurricanes, if Mike is listening, is taking on the Islanders up in New York. Carolina is up with 4-3 with about 25 seconds left to go in the third. Florida Panthers are in Pittsburgh tonight taking on the Penguins. Penguins are all over the Panthers, 5-1. Washington, with about 18 minutes left to go in the third, is hosting Philly. They're up 4-1. Montreal's got a 3-1 lead in the third against Detroit in Detroit today. Right now, Jay, your Columbus Blue Jackets are down 2-0 in Tampa against the Lightning right now, but there's still plenty of time with about 17 minutes left to go in the third. Dallas is host or is in St. Louis tonight in this big Central Division matchup. Dallas is up 3-1. Colorado is trailing Winnipeg in Winnipeg right now, 4-3, with about 2 minutes left to go. And we got a couple late games going on tonight. The New York Rangers are going out to the desert to take on Vegas. That game will be on 10 p.m. Eastern. And then on at 10:30 Eastern, we have Edmonton and San Jose doing battle. So that's what we got on tap for tonight, Jay, so we can get jump right into it.
The expansion with Seattle. One, we've seen the Seattle Lizard basketball team lack of support, but we see how well the Seattle Seahawks and the NFL thrive. Will Seattle be a NHL town? Do you think the fan base will embrace the opportunity of having the NHL? And what's it mean to the NHL to have the opportunity to continue expanding? Is this a good move to continue expanding for the NHL?
I do believe this is going to be a good thing. Seattle actually has quite a big hockey following just because of all the minor league teams that are in the area. And, you know, for one, this is also going to create an instant rivalry just over the border with Vancouver, which I think is going to help out both teams in the long run, you know, when it comes to, you know, playing in that Pacific Division. You know, Seattle is going to be in that Pacific Division where and Arizona is going to be moved to the Central Division, and that's going to even out the teams in both divisions in the Western Conference. So, you know, you're going to have a big slew of teams going up and down that Western coast, you know, up and down that West Coast. You know, you got Anaheim and San Jose and L.A. and now Seattle, and you got Vancouver. So you got a, you know, you got a good list of teams, you know, five teams right there that are, you know, within some, you know, a relatively short distance of each other that's going to, you know, instantly create some sort of rivalry, you know. So, I mean, Vegas has kind of made the blueprint for what Seattle's going to try and do. Seattle's going to have the basic same rules that Vegas had to follow with their, you know, expansion draft and such. They've actually dropped quite a bit of money to revamp and renovate the old arena where the Supersonics used to play. So I think $800 million has been invested into that renovation. I do know that Seattle paid about $150 more in expansion fees and so on and so forth, more than what Vegas had to pay. So, you know, a pretty significant jump when you look at everything. So the ownership group is really started getting the ball moving on getting the state or the arena, you know, revamped up to get, you know, ready for you know, to get ready for that 2020-2021 season. So we're going to be I'm going to be paying attention, you know, to this very closely. I do expect that a GM will probably be named by next season. That's how I think it's going to work out, you know, because it's kind of too soon, you know, for everything to really will really, you know, kind of play out for right now. So, you know, it's going to be a momentous occasion for David Bonderman, who's a private equity CEO. You know, they've dropped a lot of money so far, you know, in previous years trying to get a team in Seattle. I mean, there were times where Pittsburgh came close to being relocated to Seattle. So, and, it, you know, I think Seattle is going to be a good location for, you know, a hockey city. You know, they're a big sports town no matter where you're talking about, whether it was the Supersonics back in the day with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton, or, the, you know, even the Mariners back in the day with Ken Griffey Jr., and like you said, the Seahawks today. So hopefully, you know, I think they're gonna have a better expansion draft than what Vegas has. I think a lot of teams and general managers are gonna really pay attention to what they're gonna do when it comes to this expansion draft, Jay. And I think it's just a good move by the NHL to get that 32nd team into the NHL.
A couple things. The All-Star rosters have been announced, or the teams have been announced anyway. Want to jump into that? Any snubs? Those that you feel got in that maybe shouldn't have? When we have you on weekly, we talk about things that have surprised you, teams, players. Now that we've had a couple month gap and we got a good chunk of the season, and what has stuck out to you, good or bad, that has surprised you with any team, any player? And I know when the beginning of the season there was a lot of scoring because of the goalie equipment changed and the pads were smaller. Has that still been trending, and or have the goalies overcome that and made the adjustments?
Yeah, we'll start off at that point. You know, some of the goaltenders, have still kind of struggled. I mean, right now, Carey Price has said that he is not going to participate in the All-Star game due to some health issues that he's had, you know, going on throughout the season. So Andre Vasilevsky from Tampa Bay is going to replace him. If you look at Jimmy Howard, Jimmy Howard's had a really bounce back year for Detroit right now. His stats are up. You know, what really surprised me is Henrik Lundqvist getting in as an All-Star for the Metropolitan Division. You know, I think guys like Casey DeSmith, who is, you know, technically the backup in Pittsburgh, kind of probably snuck into that spot just the way he kept the Penguins in, you know, contention and everything. But, you know, if you look down for the Atlantic Division, you got Jack Eichel, you know, from Buffalo, who is a top-notch pick, who's not technically back in the lineup for Buffalo right now, but he is skating and is expected to be ready within the next couple of days. Nikita Kucherov, the forward from the Tampa Bay Lightning, is having a monster year. You know, Austin Matthews, who's also having a monster year. You know, you got Pasternak from Boston, and Boston's been one of those surprise teams because they had a lot of injuries in the first part of the season, and they got a lot of guys back just before that Winter Classic. So, Steven Stamkos, John Tavares, Thomas Chabot, Keith Yandle from Florida, Jimmy Howard, and Andre Vasilevsky round out that Atlantic Division. I feel that's a pretty good roster for the Atlantic Division. Jumping to the Metro, Sebastian Aho, who's been lighting it up for Carolina. Your forward Cam Atkinson from the Blue Jackets is also having a monster year up in Columbus right now. Matthew Barzal from the Islanders, who's lighting it up right now as well for the Islanders. Sidney Crosby, Claude Giroux, Crosby from Pittsburgh, Giroux from Philly. They're both having some pretty good years right now. Crosby's on pace to hit over 100 points on the season, and Claude Giroux could hit that point total too. Taylor Hall from the Devils, who's having another big year in his second year in New Jersey. John Carlson from Washington, D-Man. Seth Jones from the Columbus Blue Jackets as well, and then you got Brayden Holtby and Henrik Lundqvist that round out that Metropolitan roster. Central Division has been kind of run by Winnipeg this year, And they possibly are going to have the Rookie of the Year come out of the Central Division too. But Captain Nathan McKinnon's got his roster all up. McKinnon from the Colorado Avalanche, who's having a huge year for the Avalanche. They're playing fairly well. You got Patrick Kane from Chicago, Ryan O'Reilly, who's doing pretty well in St. Louis. Mikko Rantanen, who's probably the top pick for the Calder the Calder Award, is the top rookie, or the Rookie of the Year Award, who's just lighting it up right now. I'm pretty sure he's leading the league in points. I haven't really checked the stats yet today, but Mark Scheifele from Winnipeg, Blake Wheeler from Winnipeg. Wheeler, I was kind of surprised that made that roster. I felt that there could have been a couple other guys that would have been worthy of that, you know, guys like maybe Vladimir Tarasenko from the St. Louis Blues. I'm kind of shocked that he's not in it. But you got Miro Hiskinen, who's from Dallas, a young D-man. I think this is his first year. Roman Josi is another D-man from Nashville. He's always a monster. And then you have Devin Dubnyk from Minnesota and Pekka Rinne from Nashville, the two goaltenders, which I totally agree with. These two guys are, you know, the standard in that Central Division when it comes to goaltending. Connor McDavid's the captain of the Pacific Division. That roster's wrapped up with Johnny Hockey Goudreau from Calgary, Clayton Keller from Arizona, Joe Pavelski from San Jose, Elias Pettersson, who's another rookie who's tearing it up in Vancouver this year. And, boy, this is going to really help out Vancouver with the departure of the Sedin twins last season. So you also got Brent Burns, Drew Doughty, Eric Karlsson. Brent Burns and Eric Karlsson, who are teammates for the San Jose Sharks. Doughty coming from the Kings, which that's a pretty hellacious three. Those three are probably going to be the finalists for the for the best defenseman award at the end of the year, the Norris Trophy, and then rounding out the goaltending for the Pacific, you got Marc-Andre Fleury from Vegas, and John Gibson from Anaheim, who's a Pittsburgh boy. So it's a pretty solid roster when it comes to the All-Star rosters. This year's All-Star game is going to be hosted in San Jose. Right now, I do know that the NHL Network is having a contest with the Word of the Day to give away tickets, and I think actually just a weekend getaway to All-Star Weekend in San Jose. So any of our Puckhead fans, if you're interested in trying to, get away to the California sun for a little bit, you know, that's the best way to do it. So it's going to be rocking down there in San Jose with all the All-Star festivities. It's one of my favorite things about the season, especially with the skills competition, you know, passing hardest shot, fastest skater, you know, breakaway challenge. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I definitely can't wait for the end of this month to really come up and, you know, have some fun watching the All-Star break weekend, Jay.
Lordy, lordy. All-Star weekend is always, in every sport, an interesting weekend to kind of a change of the pace and change of events. So it's something all of us get to look forward to. If I saw that correctly, we're going to be experiencing more outdoor games than we have been in the past. Am I correct?
Yeah, we're going to have three outdoor games next year. This past year we had two games in Notre Dame Stadium for the Winter Classic and a college hockey game. Winter Classic was between Chicago and Boston, where Boston ended up taking that game in Notre Dame Stadium 4-2. A pretty good game to watch. The weather seemed pretty fair. It seemed pretty chilly, you know, enough to hold the ice and keep it really steady for some good, solid gameplay. Unfortunately, the hometown team of the Blackhawks couldn't pull it out. But the game I was really interested in was watching Notre Dame take on Michigan, where that school up north, Jay, upset that number six team in the country in Notre Dame at home. So it was that was a pretty interesting game. There was almost a full, there was a goal scored from almost the other side of the rink against Notre Dame, which really kind of broke the back of the Irish right off the get-go. They gave up two quick goals and then had to battle back the whole entire time. And Michigan ended up winning that game, I think 3-2, if I remember correctly, in Notre Dame Stadium. But next year for the 2019-2020 season, All-Star Weekend is going to be held in St. Louis. But the Calgary Flames and the Winnipeg Jets are going to play in Saskatchewan for the Heritage Classic. That'll be in October, which I think is the Tim Hortons NHL Heritage Classic, which is scheduled to be October 26th. So that's the outdoor game that we get, you know, at the beginning of every season. And what I'm really excited about is that the Dallas Stars are going to hold the 2020 Winter Classic at Cotton Bowl Stadium in Dallas on January 1st. So I'm going to be looking to try and score tickets for that because I'd like to make my way there and, you know, watch. But that's going to be something pretty interesting to see, you know, hockey in Dallas and especially in like a football area. So, you know, I don't know how much Jerry Jones or anybody had something to do with that, but, you know, that's going to be something pretty cool to see. Their opponent hasn't been announced yet. I do believe that's probably going to be announced later on in the season, during the second half of the season. So I'm looking forward to that. And then the Colorado Avalanche are going to host the NHL Stadium Series at the United States Air Force Academy's Falcon Stadium in Colorado Springs on February 15th. So those are the three outdoor games that we're going to have for next year, and it's going to be something pretty interesting. So we're also going to be waiting to hear who the Avalanche are going to play. The opposing team hasn't been announced yet, so we're still kind of waiting on hearing who's going to end up participating and playing against the Stars and against the Avalanche in those two outdoor games. So, you know, this the Heritage Classic is always kind of set in stone. Usually that game has been going on since 2003, if I remember correctly. I think my junior year in high school. So, you know, it's been always a big tradition. We're going to get an alumni game between the two teams, which is always cool to see some of the old guys come out and, you know, lace up the skates again, you know, and do battle outdoors and everything. So looking forward to those three outdoor games next year. Definitely going to try and want to score some tickets to go to the Winter Classic next year up in Dallas, because Dallas is only a couple hours away from me. And boy, that's a short drive, and I know I can I can have some fun raising some hell up there, Jay. That's for sure.
I bet. When it comes to watching games outside versus inside, is there much of a difference when you watch the game? And is there much of a difference? I mean, I'm sure there's got to be a difference in the fans because you're outside in the extreme cold. Well, the possibility of extreme cold versus being inside in an arena that's, you know, going to stay a certain temperature. But is there a big difference in the pace of the game or the way the game is played at all, or is it the same indoor-outdoor?
Yeah, there's a big, you know, a really big difference. You know, when you first start playing, you know, a lot of guys, you know, started playing on the pond, which is how I got into it, you know, when you're out there in the cold and in the dark and everything. You know, when you're inside, you can feel the atmosphere of the crowd, you know, you get all that, and it's, you know, it's something, you know, still pretty cool. But when you're outdoors and, you know, a place where you're, you know, like Notre Dame Stadium had over 70,000 people, you know, in the stands and everything watching the game. And, when they had the Winter Classic in the Big House a couple of years ago between Detroit and Toronto, you know, you had over 105,000 people, you know, screaming, hooting, and hollering. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of something special when you're out playing pond hockey, you know, on the black ice when it's snowing, you know, with your friends or your teammates and everything like that. You know, it kind of takes away that, you know, that business aspect almost, you know, where it's, you know, you're a professional player, but, you know, when you're outdoors, you kind of remember why you fell in love with the game, you know, in the first place. So, you know, it's always something special and magical. And, you know, you always, you know, enjoy times like that. I know I certainly did, you know, with my little brother and my college teammates and high school teammates playing on that, you know, black ice outdoors, you know, where you bury the keg in the snow and the bonfires, you know, a couple, 50 feet back, 50 yards back from there, from the ice. And, you know, you just kind of go at it all night long. So, you know, it's, it is a different game, you know, when you're outdoors, compared to indoors, you know, where you got, you know, controlled environment indoors, you know, where the weather doesn't really affect you. But, you know, most of these guys are used to the cold anyway. They're coming from Europe, where it's cold almost all the time. So, and it's just, you know, I think it's something, you know, to help the players really kind of get away and, you know, forget about the everyday business aspect of playing hockey in the NHL, Jay.
Any of the, topics that we did not jump into that we need to cover this week, and what do we need to be looking out for this week as we prepare to have you back on next Tuesday?
Well, the big thing right now that I'm really reading is Arizona right now is having some lease problems, you know, for the, in the city of Scottsdale. And there are rumors right now that the team is being close to being sold, and it's possible that a relocation for the Arizona Coyotes may be inevitable. From what I'm gathering right now, Quebec City and Houston here in Texas are the front runners right now to possibly acquire the Phoenix or the Arizona Coyotes, excuse me, as a relocation team right now. So I'm really kind of paying close attention to this. I do believe that this is going to happen. It may happen within the next season, maybe two seasons. You know, right now Arizona is not really doing too well, and their attendance is very, very poor right now. It just seems like the people of Scottsdale don't want to give up or put up tax money to get a new arena in for the Coyotes. So I'm really thinking that a relocation for the Arizona Coyotes right now is something that's going to be kind of inevitable within the next couple seasons. So I'm really going to be paying I'm going to be paying close attention to that as, you know, the season goes on. And, you know, kind of keep a solid ear on the ground and listen to what, you know, comes rumbling our way. But we got a couple good matchups coming up. Now that the NFL regular season is over, we're going to be seeing a lot more televised games on NBCSN and NBC. Pretty soon after the Super Bowl, we're going to have NHL Game of the Week on Sunday. But tomorrow, we got a big matchup on NBCSN at 8 p.m. Eastern, big Central Division matchup. We got Nashville and Chicago doing battle at 8 o'clock. Also, another good game that's going to be on Thursday, which is going to be the free game on NHL.tv. We got the Islanders going into the Garden to take on the Rangers. So we got a big New York matchup there. Jay, your Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be hosting the Nashville Predators that day on Thursday. That's going to be another big game that I'm going to be interested in watching. I do believe that another game also I'm going to be paying attention to that night on Thursday. Vegas is going to be hosting the Sharks. I'm going to be looking forward to that. NHL Network on Friday is going to have our Carolina Hurricanes taking on the Buffalo Sabres in Raleigh. So that's going to be a really good game to pay attention to. Also that night, there's going to be a good late game. Pittsburgh is going to be traveling out to Anaheim to take out on the Ducks, two top teams in the NHL for this week or this year, I should say. I'm sorry. And on the 12th, we're going to have a flip-flop of the Islanders are going to be hosting the Rangers, which is going to be a back-to-back deal. Jay, your Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be heading into the nation's capital to take on the Capitals, who've been pretty hot as of late. And then that's what I got on tap for what I'm going to be watching this week, Jay. And, boy, it's going to be a pretty big hockey schedule coming up once the NFL playoffs are over and done with, which is just going to catapult everybody, you know, into the second half of the season. So that's what I'm looking for coming up this week.
Definitely looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to having you back next Tuesday night, Izzo. I'm sure we'll keep in touch throughout the week. I'll look more into what you sent me. I think the end of last week is when you sent that. And we'll get into more talks about that as well. But you have a great week.
make sure you enjoy all the hockey you can this week, and look forward to talking to you next Tuesday.
All right, yeah, we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday, and it's good to be back.
Yes, sir. Want to make sure that I thank Izzo. I want to make sure that I thank Set for Life, Carolina Sports Plus, Maxivation, Digital Media. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow, so I want to thank them. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, as we'll be doing a lot of overhaul and work on the site over there, so make sure you guys check that out as well. Tomorrow night, be back in the studio, 9 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show. I will be talking the talk and get you guys caught up on all of this and get you guys ready for playoffs again this weekend. Went 4-0 and didn't win the football poll this week. I was off. So when he hit it exactly 31 points, I had 42, so I was a little on the high side on that. I thought we're going to get a little more points out of that final game on Sunday. But 4-0, I'll take that. And I did win, not the last week, but the week before. I did win the football pool on that. So I've had a pretty nice little run. A couple of the weeks I was in the contention, came down to points or a win at the end on the Monday night game. So has turned around a little bit. Picking those rounds every week eventually paid off, I guess. But tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, make sure you guys tune in. Till then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show
with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.